Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
First verse today is going to be Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 through 8. Before we read that, though, I'm going to go ahead and invite you to stand for the vision, and we will read that together. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Amen. Lord, we thank you that we can do just that we can trust you. And I pray, Father, a stillness would come in this place over every heart in this room, Lord. How difficult it is to trust you when we're frantically running around and moving to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, at the insane rhythm of this world, Lord, that causes us to never be able to rest in your presence. We take times like this, God, to rest in your presence. So remind us, Lord, of who you are and who we are in your sight. And I pray, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you would open up our hearts for more of you. Come and do what only you can do, and may your presence and your anointing be here with us today, God, to help us to grow up in the Word of God, to grow as a community of people, Lord, established in your Word. We want to advance your kingdom, God, and we know that we cannot do this by ourselves. So thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and I pray, Lord, that you would guide every word and the reception of every word in Jesus' name, amen. So, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good this Thanksgiving?
Yes.
You know, I love Thanksgiving as much as the next person because I love food. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like just via observation. I think it's interesting how Thanksgiving anymore, in a lot of ways, has just become the annual celebration of eating a certain kind of, like, a set of foods in copious amounts, to the point where you eat so much of it, you need a whole break, like a year-long break before you eat it again. And that's kind of what Thanksgiving has turned into. It's just like, let's eat all this food, get completely engorged and miserable, and get so tired of it that we will wait a whole nother year before we do it again. Now, some families do traditions like, you know, they go around the table and say, well, what are you thankful for? And for those families who are used to that, that's really good, probably a really healthy thing too. For families who are not used to it, it can be very awkward. It is important to be thankful, right? We know this. And I think it's something interesting, though, that for us, you know, even if Thanksgiving has turned into a time where we just eat this certain kind of food and then we, you know, go about our business, you know, you can have an ability to discern taste, right? If something tastes good or not, that's a matter of your palate, right? But as far as being able to taste and see that the Lord is good, like we were just reading about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man who trusts in him, that's something that doesn't have to do with your palate. It has to do with spiritual discernment, your ability to spiritually discern and have a true and valid experience of God. So one can taste good food and say that it's good, yet at the same time, simultaneously be a completely miserable and bitter person. You know, someone who's thankful and full of gratitude can enjoy filet mignon just as much as a guy who is completely embittered and upset all the time. They both can taste when something is good, or perhaps taste when something is bad. However, while one can taste that the Lord is good, one cannot taste that the Lord is good without first being a person full of gratitude. A person cannot truly experience the goodness of God in any meaningful way while you are a person that is full of ingratitude, while you are unthankful. When you're unthankful, you're not going to be able to notice when good is right in front of your face, because you're going to be magnifying your problems so much that it's going to take up your whole vision. But we are called to give glory to God, to give thanks and praise to him. At the beginning of that psalm, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Now, do you think the psalmist never went through any problems? I mean, come on. I mean, we know David, who wrote most of the psalms, he had a lot of problems. He had a lot of external problems and a lot of internal problems. Yet at the same time, he makes this decision to constantly praise the Lord and give thanks to him, even when things are difficult. And so too for you and I'm sure a lot of us have our share of problems, right? Every one of us is probably going through something. But are we allowing that something to take up our whole vision, or are we intentionally thanking and praising God and magnifying him in the process of what we're going through? Amen. But rest assured, while we are unthankful, we cannot experience the goodness of God. And it's not that God has ceased from being good and doing good in your life in those moments. It's that ingratitude has caused you to cease from being able to discern his goodness that is all around you. Amen. The only thing that's ceasing there, it's not the goodness of God, it's your ability to perceive the goodness of God. So we're going to talk about discernment and what that has to do with gratitude and how it's impacted by what we say and how what we say is impacted by how we eat or what we eat. And no, I'm not talking about Thanksgiving food, but spiritually, what is the food we are partaking in? And we're going to answer that question here in a moment in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So in this passage, we notice that a couple kinds of food are mentioned and a couple kinds of Christians are mentioned. As far as the food goes, the two foods we see are what's called milk and what is called solid food. Now, when we look into what milk is representative of in this passage, it's basic or foundational biblical principles, okay? The milk is basic and foundational biblical principles. Whereas solid food is really deeper biblical truth or revelation. So the milk is for babes, what a surprise. And the solid food is for those who are fully mature, okay? Those who are growing and progressing in the faith. These two kinds of Christians, like I just said, babes and fully grown. The babes are those who are immature. They've not progressed, okay? They have not progressed in understanding the word of God, and they need milk. They need that solid biblical foundation. They're just laying it. It's new for them. Those who are full age are those who are mature and have progressed in understanding the word of God, and thus they need that solid food. They need that deeper spiritual revelation in order to be nourished from then on. And so I don't know if you've ever thought much about it, where you might be in between these two categories of Christians, but what we're looking at here is mature and immature, okay? And we are all of us, those of us who follow Christ, are all of us called to grow in our maturity. I know that can be, accompanied by pain sometimes. I know that sometimes we'd like to stay in immaturity and adolescence and do things that we used to do the way we always used to do it, but God is calling us to something higher, something better, really ultimately something that's more healthy and wholesome and life-giving. But it's going to require us to go through some growing pains. Do you remember going through growing pains when you were younger? The aches in your legs and they're growing, and through an entire summer, you suddenly grow like a whole bunch and it's like crazy. There's some kids in this church that I'm just like, I can't even understand. Like, you know, some of them are looking literally down at me now. And I'm like, but it was only a few months ago you were just as tall as me. And now you're looking that, like, and I'm sure it hurt probably to get that tall that fast, right? Well, guess what? You know, spiritual maturity, it's not that much different. You're going to go through some pains and some discomfort sometimes as you grow. But in the end of the day, it's worth it because you're becoming fully mature in God. I know some of you short people out there are like, wait, spiritual growth, will it help me grow physically? No, it won't. But you know what? You will be a spiritual giant on the inside. Amen. You have that to look forward to. So here's the thing. These two different ideas of these two different Christians, the babies and the fully mature, and how the babies need milk, and those who are fully mature can now partake of solid food. Sometimes we read this and we get the notion, well, wait, is milk bad? Is it bad? It almost sounds negative, but it's not. Milk is a good thing, right? When a newborn baby is born into this world, they need milk. Okay, they need to be able to have that to be nourished and to begin growing, right? So milk is not a bad thing. And in a spiritual sense, milk is not a bad thing either. When you are a newborn baby in Christ, when you've just started your Christian journey, it's okay that you need milk. That's not bad. So a person needs what they need and not what you want them to need. Make that distinction. A person needs what they need and not what you want them to need. Any of my spiritually mature people out there, have you ever been frustrated when someone comes to Christ and they're new in the faith and really they just need the milk, right? But you are so excited to give them steak. You're just so excited to like, I cannot wait to bust out this spiritual truth on them. Boom! Like, you know, like you drop the mic. Some of you are like, I can tell by your reaction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the truth is, that's really not a good thing for us to do to people who just need milk, right? And here's why. Look at it in a physical sense. When my son Aiden was born, you know, I didn't know anything about raising kids and being a dad. And it was a lot of it was just, you know, learning as you go and trying your best and just trying to get sleep when you can, right? You know? And I don't know how long babies need to drink milk for or when they get to start having solid food and all of that stuff. But like, think about it. If Aiden was there and he's supposed to just have milk, but I'm really, really excited for him to have filet mignon, would that have been a very good choice for me to put a big chunk of steak in his mouth when he doesn't have teeth or a digestive system that's used to digesting meat? So like at best, he would have gotten really severe indigestion, and at worst, it could have killed him, right? I mean, a choking hazard, not to mention what it does internally. If they're not ready for it, they're not ready for it, no matter how much I want them to love steak, right? And it's like, think about that in a spiritual sense. There might be a lot of solid food, so to speak, that God has given to us and wisdom he's given to us and things we're really excited to share with people, but some people are just not ready for it, right? Now, and the cool thing is it says, those who partake only of milk are unskilled in the word of righteousness. So it's not implying that when you grow up, you stop drinking milk. You still can have milk, right? I mean, I know I sound like a child when I say this, but like two food groups that are still like my favorite thing in the world are chicken nuggets and cookies and milk, all right? And I know I might sound like a toddler, but those things are still good and I don't care what you say. Like, but milk, like, oh my goodness, I love milk. I really do. I can drink a lot of it and just love every minute of it. Yes, I know we're the only mammals on the planet to drink another mammal's milk. I don't care. It tastes good, all right? And Oreos are great with it. So I still drink it sometimes. But it's not the only thing I drink. It's not the only thing I take in for nourishment. Can you imagine someone, you know, in their adult years only drinking milk, what that would do to them? That would not be healthy. They would die eventually, right? So there is a time in your life when you need milk and only milk, And then there is a time where you can expand and you can begin trying some solid food, right? Again, going back to my son's example, like when he first started eating solid food, it wasn't like I just threw a steak dinner in front of him and said, here you go, you got your first tooth. Like, I'm so excited. That wouldn't have worked, right? Like, you have to introduce the gross stuff first, right? It's really wise to start with vegetables, because if you start with fruit, they'll get used to the sugar and then they'll be like, yeah. And then when you try to put a green bean in their mouth, they'll be like, what have you done? Okay, so you start with the mushy green stuff, and then they like it, and they grow to like it, and then they grow, their digestive system starts to change a little bit. I think diapers start becoming a little more interesting. But you know what I mean. It takes time for these things to develop. They start getting their teeth in, they start trying new things, and next thing you know, they're leaving that behind, and yeah, they are starting to get the cookies and chicken nuggets. Whatever it is that you give them, the point is they expand in their palate and what they can eat and be nourished differently than how they were before. And it's no different with you and I. When we first started with Christ, we needed that milk and only that milk. But when we start to grow, we start to branch out into learning deeper biblical truths that we didn't know before, but we need to know now. So looking into it, the difference between these Christians that are described in this passage, it's not physical age, okay? Yes, one is described as babies and others described as fully mature, but chronological age doesn't really play as much of a role in that. You can be a 50-year-old baby in Christ, and you can maybe have been a Christian for all of those years, right? As far back as you can remember, but if you have not progressed spiritually, you might still just be as immature as you always were. No matter what, no matter how much time has passed, if you're not getting what this passage is talking about, because he starts it by saying, by this time, you ought to be teachers, right? By this time, you ought to be teachers. But if it were just based on time, they should be teachers, but rather it has to be instead based upon this idea of spiritual progress, spiritual maturity. So in other words, these Christians have not progressed in a long time, and they're stuck in immaturity. And they are stuck in immaturity because they have decided to stay unskilled in the word of righteousness. It's a choice of ours now. Anyone out there a picky eater? Yeah. Right? You know, I'm going to pick on Ethan again in a minute. I wish you were here to hear it, but I'll tell him about it later and he'll laugh. I remember I took him to one of those teen serves he was talking about. And for breakfast, you know, they give you like all this awesome stuff for breakfast, like bagels and eggs and all. And I look, and on his plate, he had the most sugary donut I've ever seen, and a cup of like really, really sugary cereal and no milk. And I'm like, Ethan, what are you doing, man? You're going to like crash. Like, well into the workday, like, you're going to be tired, man. He's like, oh, this is what I like to eat. And I just remember laughing about it because I'm like, well, they got all this good stuff up here. And he's like, I don't know. I don't really like all of that. And I mean, it was stuff that was like, you know, you'd be happy, usually excited to be able to eat. But the point is, we can kind of grow up being picky about what we're going to eat and not eat, even if the thing that we're avoiding eating might be one of the healthiest things we could have in our system, right? Well, it's not any different with the word of God. There are times where we really like the taste of what we have grown up on so far. And instead of branching out and growing and becoming more mature in the deeper things of God, we just want to stay comfortably right where we're at and not be challenged anymore. That's not healthy. And the biggest reason it's not healthy is because in your walk with Christ, you are either growing or you are not. You are declining. There is no plateau and there is no static state, okay? There is no growth. I'm like, you know what? I've been doing this for a while. I think I'll just plateau for a minute, kind of coast, and take a breather before I start hiking up the mountain again. No, you're either making progress or you are declining, because it's like muscle. You know, your muscle, if you don't use it, it atrophies, right? Your faith is like that too. If you don't use it, it atrophies. It's either growing in your trust and in your intimacy with God, or you are declining in your intimacy with God and in your faith. Now, spiritually mature Christians, and that's what we're really called to be, right? We're called to grow, we're called to mature. The passage has some clarity that it can give us on what it means to be spiritually mature. And it says that these spiritually mature Christians are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? By reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I like that word use in the Greek. It's the Greek word hexis, and it means habit and practice. Habit and practice. So Christians who are growing are those who are familiar with the Word of God and who, because of their habit, practice, and use of it, have their spiritual senses exercised to discern good and evil. So in other words, making it a habit to practice the Word of God leads to spiritual progress and becoming full age in the faith. You can know it all you want, but you're not growing from it until you practice it. Until it becomes something you practice, you're not truly going to be growing from it. You can attend church all you want and be there 7 times a week, if there's a church that you know of that offers that many things to be at. You could be there as much as you possibly can. And unless you are applying what is being taught to you, there is no actual growth happening. It's just, the Bible says that love puffs up, but love edifies. Amen. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So knowledge is, you know, it's good. It's kind of the starting blocks for what you need to be able to grow, but it's not the end of the game. You grow in your knowledge, but you also have to apply it to now grow in your wisdom, to grow in your discernment. Because just a bunch of head knowledge is not the same thing as experience and wisdom, is it? I think about that, you know, and most people I've talked to who go to college and then they get a career and the degree that they got, I like to ask, so how much have you used your degree, you know, in your particular field? And it's funny how often people are like, you know, a lot of it I forgot until I got to work here. And then when I had to start applying it, it was in these really particular ways, but they didn't truly learn how to apply this stuff until they were put in a real life situation in their careers, right, where they had to use it. And so similarly for us, we can be as content as we want to be reading that Bible and doing our devotionals and attending those Bible studies and those church services and worshiping God. But unless we are applying these things, there really cannot be any growth in the faith. We're not becoming fully mature. Now, the second word I'm interested in this, remember, it says those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This word discern is diakrisis, and it means a judgment that is based upon being able to clearly distinguish between things. So we have to grow in our ability to distinguish between things. And in this context, good and evil. Can we discern? Can we distinguish between these two things? And what I really think is fascinating about this word is that it is synonymous with another word that you and I actually use quite frequently. I never thought of it being a Greek word before or coming from Greek language. But when I say it, I hear it, and I think you'll hear it too. But it's the word diagnosis. Diagnosis. So when you get a diagnosis, what do? You have symptoms of something, something's going on with your body, you go to the doctor, you're hoping to receive a diagnosis, which is you're wanting to get knowledge about what you're going through after the doctor has examined you. You want to get knowledge about what you're going through after the doctor has examined you. That is a diagnosis, okay? Similarly, for us, that we need to learn how to diagnose things in our life. And no, I am not talking about you taking the role of your medical professional and trying to diagnose, you know, physical ailments you're going through. I'm not saying that. But spiritually, you need to be able to grow up and diagnose things that are going on in your life. And the only way that's really going to happen is we need to be partaking of the Word of God. See, it's saying that we need to, if we're babes in Christ, we need to get that milk, right? And if we're growing in Christ and we're progressing in the faith and we're becoming mature, well, you need to start moving on to some solid food. And as you partake of these nourishing things that are spiritually helping you to grow up as a mature believer, you will then be able to diagnose things that are going on in your life differently than you ever did before. You know, it used to be something would happen in your life and you had no idea what was going on, right? You couldn't see it for what it was. But as soon as you start walking with the Lord and you start growing in the faith, you start to be able to recognize certain things in your life start sounding a lot like things that people went through in the Bible. You start to realize, wow, like, I'm going through this, and look, so-and-so did as well in Scripture. And look, here's how they handled it. And look, here's how I'm encouraged to handle it in this particular passage of Scripture. You start to grow, and you start to live your life based upon the wisdom that God gives us in His Word. You're able to diagnose these things and able to point it out in a way that you never could have when you were immature and didn't know the Lord. So again, Christians who are full age and spiritually mature are growing in their ability to distinguish between good and evil, and are also growing in their ability to accurately diagnose problems in their life and find solutions for those problems in the Word of God. It's like you have a medical handbook, so to speak, right? Like if you had a physical thing going on and you look in a medical handbook, like, and you know how to use the thing, like, you know, you might become more familiar with terms that are going on with the body and different definitions like that. It could be a source of wisdom for you on those things. But for us, we need something to help us diagnose what we're going through. And I think of my dad. My mom and I are the people in our family who break things. And my brother and my dad are the people who know how to fix things. I mean, as simple as I just tried to press the power button on the remote, okay? I don't know why it fell in half. I don't know why the battery exploded when I did it. All I know is that when I touch things that are technology-based, somehow I mess them up. My dad's tried to explain it to me before, but it just goes in one ear and out the other because I don't understand all the technical lingo. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't know. I just don't. But one of the categories that my dad has always been super helpful with in my life is when my car breaks down. I joke about my dad because you've heard the phrase jack of all trades, master of none. I like to say my dad is a jack of all trades, master of all. Because I don't understand how he does it, but he just like is really excellent in his knowledge on knowing how to do myriad things, lots of things. One of those things happens to be mechanical understanding and knowledge when it comes to cars. Me, on the other hand, I couldn't tell you much about it. I could tell you if you had a flat tire. I think most people probably could, but you know. Anyway, point is, my dad has this really cool tool called a diagnostic scanner. And what he does with it, for those of you who are like me and are like, what is a diagnostic scanner? What it is a device that you can hook your vehicle up to, and the computer system in your car, which a lot of them are built with now, communicates to the system in this device, and it throws out codes that tells you potential things that are wrong with your vehicle right there on the screen. Oh my word. And his is cool because it'll actually also give you YouTube videos you can watch on how to fix the thing. So not only does it tell you what's wrong, it shows you where to find solutions for it. And I'm just like, dude, like that is the coolest thing. You just plug your car right in and boom, there it is. Solutions to your problem, right? Well, okay, it would be neat if we could do that in the Christian sense, right? Like, oh man, I am just going through it this week. I just feel like I got problems coming out the wazoo. Like, I need some help. I wish I could just plug myself into something and it tell me all the things that are wrong. Maybe I don't want that, actually, because I'm afraid the list would be really long, you know? But we would plug ourselves in and it could just spit out all these results on what's wrong with us. Well, okay, we don't have that, but what we do have is the Bible. What we do have is Jesus Christ, who, remember, He is called the Great Physician.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.